Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Recording is started. How are you now? Brought to you by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. It's the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast. I am James Whelan, Investment Manager, and a reminder that all advice contained in this podcast is generally nature. Please speak to an advisor about your needs. Please mark well as well. I am joined by Heath Moss of HLM Investment. Heath, how are you now?
Very well, thanks, James, and hope all our listeners are very well as well.
I hope they are too. It's been a smashing week. Better than last week, I suppose, and on this beautiful sunny Thursday, the 24th of August. My friend, the weather is absolutely cranking out here in Sydney.
Same here in Adelaide, very spring type weather coming in.
I am shaking though. I'm not shaking in a good way. I'm shaking in a bad way. I had an experience on the bus. I take the bus with my little one, so my youngest, the champion, the skipping champion. Three time national jump rope champion, that is, overall, and club champion twice running. It's never happened before. Anyway, on that note, I'm very proud. I'm a proud parent, and we do talk about these things and spend a lot of time together and do all sorts of stuff. I catch the bus with her on Tuesdays and Thursdays from where we are in, in Crow's Nest over to Northbridge while our place is getting built. And I'm sitting there with her, and we just sort of sit there. We don't always talk, we don't always yak away. We're just sort of sitting. It's the morning, and you sort of, you know, you get it getting, and I had my phone in my hand. And I go to check, you know, I get a message from work or something like that. I go to check it. So a lady gets on the bus and she just immediately starts at me. I'm flabbergasted because I'm usually polite. I'm not a confrontational person, as you know. I tend to just walk away from every interaction. And in my usual way, I'll stew about it for the next 20 years and manifest it in some sort of a drinking problem. But as you well know, we'll talk about it on my podcast. A couple of white guys just bitching about this sort of thing. And she starts going, "We want dads off phones. We want kids off phones. We want dads off phones. Now's your chance to talk about Father's Day and plan things." And then she starts talking directly to my youngest as well without asking. I don't like people talking to my kids without asking. And if she's talking to my kids, then she's getting on the bus and she's talking to other people's kids. Maybe their parents aren't there. Anyway, and I was just like, you know, sometimes you just got to tell someone to F off. It was one of those times when I really should have, I said something to her as she was leaving, but it just should have been a situation. These things as a civilized, enlightened human being, I battle with how I should have responded to that a bit better. I'm going to throw it out there. Should I have told her more firmly to find her way away from us, or should I have? Anyway, I don't know.
I think there's difficulties you have to keep their opinions to themselves unless they're asked. Let people parent the way they want to parent.
Don't tell me about the dynamic that I have with my children. But it's just mind your own damn business. It's public transport. This kid, we're just trying to get from one place to the next. She's got school in front of her. She doesn't want me sitting there yakking about a whole bunch of stuff. It's bad enough I sit there trying to make conversation as it is. Sometimes I just want to sit. We don't always have to. Anyway, I just one of those things that annoy me. What's grinding your gears, Heath?
Nothing's much grinding my gears. We're going to touch on the footy, don't we? I mean, the goal that wasn't a goal that cost the Crows finals and all that. That's probably what was grinding my gears a couple of days ago, but I'm over it now. I mean, at sport, you know, human error will happen. It could have been avoided, but it is what it is. No point in dwelling on it. You're going to move past it. So I'll be looking for some time off in September, whereas the Swannies will be looking forward to some finals and hopefully going deep again.
I think we'll play a few weeks of finals. I've got a really good feeling about that. More weeks without Buddy, I'm going to say. I'm sort of glad he's gone. Speaking of, my wife was just like, you should have, you know, talking about this lady. Women are a lot more brutal with these sort of bits and pieces, and she would have just told this lady to bugger off. Or it's possible that if my wife and my daughter were riding the bus together, even if my wife was on her phone, then this lady wouldn't have said anything to her. But I think it was because I'm a dad.
Yeah.
She has the right to try and tell me how I need to be raising my kids, which I find disgraceful because I'm a great dad.
You are.
All these things that we do. And anyway, she can't. But my wife, speaking of Buddy, when I sent my message to my wife to say, yeah, Buddy's resigned, and she's gone, good. Mm. It was immediately. It was just like, she's a hardcore Swans fan. It just immediately, she said,
yep.
Should have happened last year. I tell you what, these women need to be running the lists because they got no emotion at all for when it comes to someone who's done. It's just
brutal. Just is he your off? Cut, is your he, cut.
Cut, done. Right, who we got left? You guys run.
Oh, that Simpsons episode where Homer becomes cut. A baseball cut.
Cut.
The hardest cut. The best part of my day. Your cut.
Just cut. Anyway, yeah. Speaking of cuts, Jackson Hole, we're going to be finding out in the next few hours, more or less. A few hours is about 48 hours.
Couple of days,
about. Will Captain J, the amazing, be talking about where they're going to be stopping rises, where the peak rate is going to land? Will they say these things? It's not the most exciting of events, Michael Jackson Hole coming up, but it's, mate, what's, I'm not even going to ask about predictions, mate. It's like, what difference does it make? It's just going to be, no.
I don't think we're going to see anything dramatic come out of it anyway. I think they'll just reiterate what they're saying now, you know. Data dependent. They could, if you know, if inflation doesn't keep on slowing like it is, then more rate rises could be coming. So it's just, I think it'll be more. I don't think we'll get any fireworks or anything out of it. They don't need to. There is no need to surprise the market. So I think it is status quo.
Yeah, he's done a great job of communicating it as far as it's gone. Mm-hmm. Now it's, you know, I don't see any reason why it's going to be doing that. Now, global stocks are headed for the worst month in nearly a year, but for the week, it's been a rough one. As everyone's just suddenly, it's hit them with these two big ones, just going, "Oh, rates are actually fairly high, and they will be longer." Now, I'm doing an amazing thing with the Ensemble team. Anyone who knows what Ensemble is, it used to be called XY Advisor, and
fantastic platform.
They've got me hosting their podcast over there, which is pretty cool. Yeah, go and check out the Ensemble platform, please. I'm going to start spruiking that on this thing. We've got a pretty good deal going on with them, and I'm huge fans of theirs, and they're huge fans of mine too, which is cool. I'm doing their podcast series, the Investor series, talking to a bunch of fund managers. We've got Morningstar there as well. Yesterday we had the head, I can pass this on. We had the global head of listed real estate investment trusts, so that James Mayhew. Which was cool, and the head of the head person of investing strategy from Morningstar as well, Jody Fitzgibbon. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really good chat, just talking about where rates are sitting, and the main thing, one of the main things that came out is just that rates now are going to be longer. It's now a matter of how long, not a matter of how high, it's about how long this is actually going to be staying. And that needs to be factored in. I think the market's been factoring that in this week alone. What's your take on that? I know you've got some cool things to talk about. You do more preparation for this than I do, obviously. I'm just a buy and hold sort of guy sitting here just trying to run my podcast and stuff. What do you got?
Look, I mean, I think they're right to a degree. I think for the rest of the year, it could be a sort of rates are higher for longer. But I think I circulated in our group chat a really good chart. I should have brought it up. Sorry.
I'll see if I can make it up. Savings. You talk, I'll do.
All right. Savings in the US. Now, the excess COVID savings in the US are now depleted according to JP Morgan. And people are starting to eat into their regular savings, which are growing at a much slower rate than they were pre-COVID. So the US consumer is starting to feel the pinch now of higher prices, higher rates, et cetera, et cetera. And eventually that's going to hit, spending. And, 70% of the U.S. economy is spending. It's a mammoth amount of money that people do spend over there. And I think towards the end of the year. And then in October, you've got student loans coming back in. Repayments for student loans are starting again. So I think by the end of the year, you're going to see a U.S. consumer, which is really under the pump and under stress. And I think we'll see the US hit recession in the first half of 2024 on the back of that.
Okay. I need you to keep talking because I'm trying to get this thing going.
But, I mean, it didn't matter for markets last night, did it? Well, last night was all in anticipation of the NVIDIA earnings. Markets were up the most in almost 2 months in one session last night. S&P 500 up over 1%, NASDAQ up over 1.5%. It really was. We did see softer PMIs coming from the US, softer than expected and lower than last month. And that was on the back of the European PMIs that came in earlier last night, which were absolutely terrible. There is no doubt in my mind that the EU is heading into a recession. They look absolutely shocking over there. But we did get some relief in the LNG prices last night, as it looks like a strike will be averted on that Woodside LNG plant. We saw European gas futures down about 18% at their lowest on the back of that. So things look good there. But I suppose the market rallied on, you know, bad news is good news last night with PMI softer. We saw yields come off as well on the back of that. So, you know, you were just speaking about higher yields for longer. I mean, market maybe was taking a step back from that last night, saying maybe if things are getting worse, then we'll see yields come down. And there's the chart. That's the fantastic chart. I think JP Morgan, and you can see there that big blue mound there in the middle. That's the excess COVID savings. Yep. And you can see that
for people who, who are listening only, there is a big blue thing in the middle that looks a lot like
bell curve. Chart.
Without any tails. It's
showing these excess COVID savings from all the stimulus and all the handouts that we got during COVID. And now that has turned negative. We've got a little red notch, negative $91 billion for June, showing people are now starting to eat into regular savings. They've exhausted their COVID savings and now eating into those regular savings. So that's a great chart from JP Morgan and really shows some of the stresses that are going to start hitting US households. Now, I don't think here in Australia it's the same. I do believe we've still got quite a bit of excess COVID savings along the lines of around $300 billion. If I remember rightly from the CBA results a couple of weeks ago, their deposits were up very, very healthy, even to start this financial year. So it's not the same here, but the US are just starting to feel it. And maybe we can take something from them because they seem to have been ahead of us, you know.
They're ahead of us on all things. That is correct. Yeah. New Zealand is the first. America, we're lagging behind for various reasons. And as I've said before, it's because the RBA didn't start hiking as soon as they should have started hiking because there was an election coming up. And you and I disagree with all of these things that were going on.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, even though I'm right.
But anyway, no point rehashing.
No, even though I'm right. So the moving on from that. Hey, guess what else happened?
What happened?
Favorite country after this one that I'm standing in right now.
India. Yep.
My boys and girls in India
landed
on the moon.
Yeah.
Good for them. Look at where they landed. They landed there. Can you see that?
Yep. The green.
They're dot. On the southern pole. Of I don't know why there's stuff to look at around there.
Didn't Russia really cool. Recently crash something into the moon?
I was about to say that. So in the same week that India managed to have a beautiful touchdown, televised amazingly. This is what blows me away that they did the Chandrayaan 3, which just means moonlander in Hindi. Mm-hmm. The Chandrayaan 3 was launched with a budget of about 6.15 billion rupees, which if you want to talk about crore, I can do the conversion, but I'm not going to. $74 million, which was, and this is what Reuters, I love Reuters' little stat here, less than the cost to produce the 2013 Hollywood space thriller Gravity. So this, getting a thing on the moon to be able to look around for a few days and take photos that everyone managed to watch and everything there actually cost less than it did to put a movie with Sandra Bullock in it. Isn't that incredible?
Phenomenal. I think that would have been all of Sandra Bullock's salary there, wouldn't it? $74 million.
She was a big chunk of it, mate. Don't worry about that. She earns it too. I used to have such a thing for her. Okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But it's in the same week that Russia managed to botch theirs. Which is an amazing thing, but also represents just sort of how the tide is turning. And I think that a lot of things happened with the Ukraine war, in which we realized that Russia was not as strong, even after the estimations have been taken into account. Just how overestimatingly we had Russia, and I really wish that I'd said that differently, but you know what I mean? We overestimated Russia, and I think that that's true. So what else is there? China? Iron ore had a pop yesterday.
Yeah, not much there. All talk, no stim. Again, encouraging banks to issue more credit. Really no concrete plans for stimulus there. But iron ore and coke and coal did bounce quite a bit yesterday. They're up about 5% and 3% respectively. But, I mean, our mate Westy, he puts that down to the start of building season and some optimism about higher demand there. So nothing concrete coming out of China. Been very quiet there. Here in Australia, we're still in the midst of earnings season here. And this is where most companies report their full year reports. So I'll give you a bit of a breakdown.
Busiest week of the season, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
We had all the big guys. A breakdown
overarching themes. So in terms of retail, we've had like JB Hi-Fi, Super Retail Group, Baby Bunting and Dares all report so far. They're all reporting softer sales to start 23-24 as expected. Yep. Lower volumes and foot traffic through doors. Interesting, online sales are declining as a percentage of overall sales. So people are returning to the shops rather than having to buy things online, which I suppose, you know, we all expected. Resources, pretty simple, lower earnings on the back of lower commodity prices. Still fairly bullish commentary around China and growth moving forward, so not much to take from that. Energy is the same, lower energy prices, lower profits, although Woodside's was higher due to higher production levels. They were able to incorporate all of the BHP assets production into their report this financial year, so that's why they were so much higher. And banks, net interest margins still under pressure, especially in the second half of the financial year. That's on the back of lots of competition still, lower loan growth. Basically, that's stalled and going backwards. And 90-day arrears are creeping up, but nothing to really concern yourself
creeping,
about.
It's five, six basis points. Yeah. It's not enough to blow the world up. I was talking about, amazingly, it was a conversation I was having with the wife about my amazing bride about these things. And I was saying to her, it's just like, she said, yeah, she's not someone who follows these sort of markets, bits and pieces. She said, yeah, it seems a bit right. I said, this is the thing that doesn't make any sense though. And we've talked about it and we will talk about it for more, I'm sure, that for another few months, is that, you know, we were going through a really crowded restaurant or somewhere like that the other night. I was explaining it to her and it's just like, okay, so, but people have, always, people have found a way to pay these insane mortgages, right? It's not like America. Yep. People have gone variable. We have found a way to pay our mortgage. I have found a way to pay my mortgage and the rent. Looking forward to not doing that next month. And what have you cut? And again, this goes back to your savings rate. You had to cut something to get that done. So I've cut a whole bunch of stuff out. I know people have. But all these people are still, I know anecdotal doesn't work and people shouldn't sell you just because you see a full restaurant, but it's like, mate, there's no change to these things. You know, what, full capacity crowds at the Matildas last week.
Yeah. Taylor Swift ticket sales through the roof.
Something's got to give. I don't know when it's going to give, mate. Anyway, sorry, carry on with your side of things, sir.
Yeah, so, but I was just saying about the banks, and they're just very well capitalized though here. ANZ has a tier one capital ratio of 13.5%. I think it's 11.5 is the minimum. That would be the on Basel, the back of the them Basel holding holding capital to try and take over Suncorp.
Yep.
Now, see, this may present an opportunity next year because they're going to, because the ACCC blocked that merger. So they're going to court over that to try and overrule it. And that's not going to be wrapped up until June next year. So if that doesn't go through, which I don't think it will, I can't see how that is good for competition, then, you know, ANZ are going to have a lot of excess capital that they're going to have to probably get rid of. So it may be something to look at next year with ANZ that you get on the back of that for higher dividends, capital returns, buybacks, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I was reminded of, just as we were talking about that, I was reminded of, what was it? I was when I was at UBS and it was a BHP that wanted to take over Rio. Remember that?
Yeah. That was the tail end of the resources boom.
That was the bell.
Yeah,
that's right. It was a big bell that was ringing like that. And I was just like, either way, BHP is a massive scrappy buy because if this doesn't go through, they're cashed up bogans, and it was a sensational, just hockey stick. Well, that's how I remember it anyway. Yep. But yeah, it's the same stuff. ANZ, I reckon ANZ, that could be tip of the week. Good work. General advice only.
Yep.
Put this one on Heath Moss. Tick. If you get it wrong.
Overall, 114 of the 200 companies have reported their full year, and in aggregate, revenues are up 7.5%. Expenses up 13%. Net profit is down 45%. Now, these are numbers with BHP and Rio included. I haven't found the numbers ex BHP and Rio, which I dare say would show modest growth in profit. But it really is important to see the figures without those two because they distort it so much.
Okay.
EPS down 28%, dividends down 1%, and cash down 11%. So,
good. You
know, it seems as if companies are still trying to maintain their dividend levels and using cash rather than profits to keep those dividend levels up from last year. So overall, it's pretty much what we expected so far. There's only about a week or so left to run on this earnings season. So we can wrap that up in more detail probably next week. But in terms of earnings as well, we have to talk about the big one last night or this morning. NVIDIA. They had a massive earnings beat last night.
Yeah.
And I've got the stats here in front of me. I've got the chart up as well. I think you've got that up, haven't you?
Yeah.
Massive beat. $13.5 billion in sales versus 11.2 expected. $2.45 EPS versus $2.08 expected. Sales up 100% on year, 88% on quarter. So the 88% higher than last quarter, when last quarter was such a huge beat as well. Data center revenue is what drove it. Data center revenue was 10.32%, 10.32 billion of that 13 billion versus the 8 billion expected. That's up 141% on quarter, $25 billion buyback. Gaming was the only negative. Now, this makes sense. So gaming slowed to 19% of sales versus 47% 2 years ago. So gaming was 47% of sales 2 years ago. That lines up when the latest Xbox and PlayStation 5 released. So they get millions of these units ready to go and to be sold. So that lines up with that. And the stock was up 7% after hours. But also what happened was the forecast. Forecasts for Q3 were $16 billion in sales versus $12.6 expected. So that was a massive beat. So all round, NVIDIA has done it again. Interesting, China is 20 to 25% of all revenue. So what they're doing here, because we all know last year the Biden administration put a ban out on advanced microchip exports to China. And what NVIDIA did is said, hey, we're going to make a new chip, AI chip, that can circumvent that. The A800 and the H800, which is only sold in China. And their specifications meet the allowable specifications for them to export to China. So what I think is happening here is we're getting a lot of stockpiling from Chinese companies because we know around September, October this year, we're going to get increased restrictions on exports to China in terms of semiconductors and chips. So I think we're seeing a lot of stockpiling, and we may see NVIDIA's fourth quarter. So this quarter is still going to be really, really good. A fourth quarter be a miss. Expectations will be really high, but China will start to be impacted. China won't be able to stockpile or order those chips
maybe
anymore.
Maybe just lower expectations. Yep.
Yeah. So I think right, fourth quarter is the one to watch.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think so. When things start to get so the stockpiling is done, and then you're going to get a bit of a bit of reduced spend. Although I'm sure they'll figure something else out and be able to blag their way through it, as only they know how to do. What is final bids? What's on footy?
Footy this week. We're going into the last round of AFL. Lots of funny things can happen there, but I've got a couple for us, I reckon. Yep. Because depending on if you hear this before Friday night, Collingwood versus Essendon. I reckon Essendon at the line is good money at $1.90 with a 29.5-point start. But if you can't get off, 29.5 Bombers, they will try and redeem themselves after last week's 130-point flogging by GWS. Cool. And the Roos versus Gold Coast and Tassie. Gold Coast are resting quite a few players. So I think the Roos to outright beat them paying $3.54 is pretty good money.
Although be careful with these cellar dwellers. Amazing. In the week, of all the West Coast have managed to get wrong this year, it's not losing last week was one of them. They the first round draft pick is a generational talent. So North,
but he's...
so you've got to come last.
And North, but he's also a Victorian with a very large chance, a very big go home factor, go home risk.
Oh yeah.
West Coast coming, getting the second pick may be a blessing in disguise.
Okay, I suppose so. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Anyway, so what is that? It you good?
Yep, that's it for me.
I've got what have I got? Look, NRL, we're getting towards the end of it. We've also got a lot of teams that are just like, you know what, they don't need to do any more than they've done, and this happens in the AFL as well. So say tonight, Eels plus 18.5. They're playing the Panthers that don't need to do anything more than just the bare minimum. Dragons plus 16.5. I mean, take these massive starts and chuck them on. I really like them, but I still like Newcastle to go deep in the finals. I think that they'll get a win, so that's my pick of the week. And I don't know what that's paying; it's whatever. But take the Knights. I think that the Knights will get up again. That's 405 on that. But look, take the big long starts that you've got. So that's St. George. That's the Titans. The Dolphins have got 10.5 as well. And tonight the Eels have got 18.5. Take any one of them. Find your favorites. Put two of them together and see how you go. Turn it into a $4 bet. So with your head not over it, as always, you are more likely to lose than win. And think of your kids. Except for that lady on the bus, don't think of my kids, please. Whatever you're doing, I've made a comment on the community Facebook message and just go, dear lady, please don't do that anymore. Please mind your own business. Don't tell me how to be a dad. Okay, that's it. Last bids.
That's it. I'm all done.
All right. So this weekend, I am hosting an amazing trivia night for Jump Rope, because that's the sort of amazing dad I am. For my daughter's Jump Rope team. I'm going to put a link to the raffle on everything that we put on. Dig in, go in, buy a ticket, win a whole bunch of really cool goodies around the place. There's golf prizes, there's beauty treatments, there's all sorts of amazing stuff that's going on too. And then I'm also emceeing the 10x10 philanthropy charity event, which is coming up on the 21st of September. That is a lot of work getting that together. We're hoping to raise about $250,000 for three fairly new startup charities that are doing some amazing work. So I'll put some links to that as well, wherever I need to put links. I really need to update my website, but it's been such a... People who know me know that it's been a pretty interesting couple of weeks, and I won't go into the details why, but I think I'm seeing the other side of it now. So that's sort of how this goes.
Good news. Very good news.
Maybe snapping at a strange lady on the bus was probably what I needed, actually, just now that I mention it. And maybe that's why I'm feeling so much tension at this particular time. Anyway, okay, mate, it's been great. Stay safe, mark well, and I'll talk to you next week, okay?
Have a good one, everyone. See you later.
See ya.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.